Aloha kākou. Welcome to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story. Talk Story, Vala'ao in Hawaiian, translates loosely as reminiscing and communicating. Today, we will be talking with a lovely and gifted young singer-songwriter, Ku'uipo Kumakahi, whose allegiance and devotion to traditional Hawaiian music and culture is an inspiration to her contemporaries, who, like herself, are children of the Hawaiian Renaissance generation. Ku'uipo's voice and her beautiful interpretation of original compositions and those of others have garnered her numerous nominations and awards throughout the past several years. She's won Nā Hoku Hanohano Awards, the Grammy of Hawaiian Music, once for Most Promising New Artist and Traditional Hawaiian Album of the Year, and twice for Female Vocalist of the Year, just to name a few. Through Ku'uipo's music, teaching, and community work, she carries a bright torch into the 21st century to assure the continuing preservation of the language, music, and culture for her generation and those to come. Let us join KKCR's own Sandy Swift as she talks story with Ku'uipo Kumakahi.
Ku'uipo, e ho'omakakaua ma ke kinohi loa. Let's start from the very beginning. When did you first start playing?
Basically, you know, I started when I was about 10 years old, started playing the ukulele. Like most Hawaiian children, in our family gatherings, everybody have a song to sing, was a part of participating, you know, and being a part of the grown-ups. We'd sing family songs. I think for our family was mostly church type Hawaiian hymnal songs, or we refer to that as the himeni, Hawaiian songs that are not danced to. And these are the songs that I think we're more familiar with. And, you know, there are a few children's songs, and that kind of got the ball rolling. In our family, you know, we hardly ever got together since everybody was, you know, far apart, either on other islands or on the mainland. But when we did, it was just that time to sit down and have a good time. You know, at home playing the ukulele and or the guitar or even the washed-up bass. But that's how it was for me growing up.
When did you write your first song?
My first song, I think, let's say I recorded in 93, so maybe 1991. And the reason for writing the first song was we have an old family property. It's about 18 acres on the Hilo side, on the eastern side. We have a lot of cliffs. We don't have too much sandy beaches. Okay, so where we live is we live on a cliff, on a coastline, actually. We had a staircase that was put up from our property down to the ocean. And at the bottom of the staircase is, on one side, of course, is the ocean. The other side is a waterfall with a pond. And we're having a family gathering for this staircase, you know. And I couldn't think for any reason or to bring what kind of gift. I just And I kept thinking, maybe I don't have to bring a gift. I live there. But somehow I felt that I really had to bring something. And so what I did was write a song. And like most, I think, songwriters, especially in the Hawaiian language, it's kind of like you have to sit and wait. I don't know, the spirit just has to come. Because you're not writing, or you can't think English. You have to think Hawaiian. And I really can't tell you how that's done. I think it's something that we're brought up with, to think in that thought, or in that heart, or that spirit. And like anything else, they tell you, don't chase it. You just kind of have to wait. And with other elders in Hawaiian music, they've always told me, unless you are worthy of receiving that information, only then will that information come to you. Otherwise, you can sit and wait forever, and don't try to chase it because it'll never come. Anyway, that's how it happened. I sat in my living room on Oahu. Just this melody just came to mind. In fact, I made sure I tuned my guitar to slack key. I just started playing on the guitar. Just the melody just came, and then the words, and I thought to myself, I don't even speak the language. How can I write, you know, these Hawaiian words? But I can remember my father saying some words, and then just writing things down and jotting ideas. Then I took it to someone who was a Hawaiian language speaker and also a musician, and she helped me finish the song. So the song is for Ale'a Mai, the name of the property. The family home is Ale'a Mai. Favorite flower was the pakalana. It's a very special flower. I don't know the English name. However, it's a flower that has been in, I think, many Hawaiian families' gardens for a long, long time. And the leis are just so beautiful. And the scent, so fragrant. And so I had to include the pakalana in this because it too is also my mother's favorite flower. Hey, aina nani. Kila kila meke ala o nauna, so fragrant na pakalana. And of course the song is not complete unless you give praise to your kupuna, your ancestors. E iwa iwa no na kupuna o ku ai he. Property. It starts at the beginning of the property and ends up at Avavaloa, which is the place of where I sing for this song. Did I say that correctly? I think so. That's okay. I'm thinking Hawaiian right now. And of course that verse gives praise to our family who constantly gather at this property. It's a home where generations have been raised, born and raised. In fact, I think my mother was the last to be born at this property, on this land, so precious to our family. O kahome mai kai, ihu ipu ia ka ohana like, e haahe o nei ua mauli no. Praise to the ancestors. E iwa iwa no na kupuna o ku ai he lani a o unulani o ku ai he lani o ia ka mea nui he nui ka mahalo ia Hawaiian songs, we end in the refrain that says one more time aloha or love to the topic that we sing of, in this case for my home, the land of our ancestors, so precious to our family. The language is really important in anything, composition, speaking to each other. You know, there's a saying, and this is for the Hawaiian language, that in the language is life and also in the language is death. It's really important that, you know, close attention is paid to the use of the language or even the translation of the language, because for some Hawaiian words, there are no English words that can describe the thought that, you know, actually is or some kind of literal translation. In Hawaiian poetry, we do have, in many cases, what is called a kauna, or the hidden meaning, sometimes maybe more than just one hidden meaning. And I always like to say, the more hidden the meaning, the better the song. Our composers did that many times so that we as kids wouldn't, you know exactly what they were talking about. But you see, that was the unique thing about writing Hawaiian poetry. It was sometimes you could use just one or two words and the listener would have to get the whole idea. The imagery in that sense was, you know, very important. You had to be clever in order to write that way. In the old days, when you even look at a composition, even if you were just a Hawaiian singer and maybe you weren't versed in a language, but sometimes the composition would just speak to you. But, you know, I also heard something that in order to attain mana, you know, that spiritual power, you have to keep practicing. And soon the songs start to sing to you.
I know you have a couple of compositions that you've written in a very traditional style. Would you like to define tradition for us?
I think tradition is something that has been around for a while, a long time. Maybe if we have to put a number, maybe more than 30 years. Today, even if we write and compose in Hawaiian, I couldn't say it was tradition, but the style perhaps lends to the tradition or traditional music. And I think if you can get a native speaker to write some compositions, I think that, you know, it gives you an even better connection to the past, because I really regret that Hawaiian language is not my first language, because it's a whole nother mindset, another way to think. My dad's first composition was again for our home in Hilo at Ale'omai, and it talks about that water pond known as Waikulumea. And I was very happy for him that in 1994 he won an award for this. And it was for known as Hakumele, and Hakumele means a new Hawaiian music composition. Starts from the beginning of our family land, and the river, of course, takes it down towards the ocean. You see, in the old days at Ale'omai, there's more than about 500 people that lived in this one small area. And at Waikulumea, all the ladies would come, bring their children, they'd gather water, wash their clothes, children would play, they'd gossip all day. That's what I was told. So the song says, E inu, to drink of the life-giving waters of Waikulumea. E inu,
waikulumea, waiho o pula pula, nona kamaloha, waikulukulu, waikulumea. Haina mai ka puana, ka wai anu hea, o waikulu mea, o ka wai kili o pu hea, ka wai lele, o waikulu
survived the community for years, long before I came, and it will remain long after I leave.
Kuipo, how do you feel about the trend in Hawaiian music that incorporates so many other musical genres?
I appreciate all kind of music. But Hawaiian music is Hawaiian music. And it should stay Hawaiian. We should have composers today that can create, you know, and hopefully they pay attention to what was composed before. Not only in the poetry, the language, but also the music. I once heard this saying that when you listen to the music, you want to listen to the lyrics. And I thought that was such a profound statement that, you know, Hawaiian music, like the language, is just melodic. To speak the language is a melodic. We have a very melodic language. The music shouldn't be any different. Some of the music that we hear today on our, you know, airwaves, you know, all this Hawaiian rap, reggae mixed with Hawaiian lyrics, I don't like it. Maybe I'm too much of a traditionalist, but I don't like that mixture because we have, Hawaiian music has its own place. We really don't have that much left over. And if we don't take care of it, we will lose it. Like many of the things, not only here in Hawaii that we're losing, but other culture groups across the world have been losing. We've adopted maybe sometimes too much other cultures into this one area, maybe for commercial or political purposes. And then soon, you know, we've started a whole new wave of kind of music, which is what's happened to Hawaiian music. We've turned it into Hawaiian. It's become a selling product and selling like hotcakes, and we're losing sight and we're not staying focused. The sad part is that these people who, musicians who perform that kind of music, they really don't know Hawaiian music. And I'm afraid that when they tell you they know, it's really they don't know. I see just a few of us left. Hopefully we can maintain and sustain the dignity and respect due to Hawaiian music through just the performance of its music, even if it's old music from the time of our ali'i, you know, our kings and queens, that we can maintain that in our community, and hopefully we get more support from businesses, our tourist industry, our recording industry, radio stations, television, so that Hawaiian music will always remain. It's something that belongs to Hawaii.
Return to Talk Story with Ku'uipo Kumakahi after your station identification.
Kuipo, I know how much you love hapa-hale music. Could you define for us, what is hapa-hale?
Well, hapa-hale means half foreign. You know, there was a period in Hawaii's music history. A lot of the newcomers to Hawaii really were so overwhelmed by Hawaii's beauty that they, you know, I'm sure they decided to write all those lovely songs written in English using the imagery of Hawaii. And the romance, of course, the hula girls, it was that was a big thing, you know, all the hula girls. And of course, some of that style or those kinds of compositions really, I think, impacted some local folk. They too were part of writing what is called hapa-hale, which is songs that either contain all English lyrics of and about Hawaii or songs that were part Hawaiian, part English. And, you know, that even goes back to when our great kings and queens wrote music compositions because, of course, Queen Liliuokalani did write those songs that say, especially in the song Aloha Oi, one fond embrace, a ho'i'o e'o, until we meet again. I tried my hand at one of those and I was kind of afraid to do it, being that I think there are many Hawaiian language experts today that would probably not encourage this kind of writing because of the use of the English language. But I had to kind of put that aside and say, we'll just try it. I got to tell you the story about this too. More than just my friend, she's my business manager, she's my manager. Karen, Ka'ohulani Aiyu, and I went to look for yellow gingers. Beautiful flowers, so fragrant. You make beautiful flower lei with them. And we went up to the mountains. And she shared with me that it was her mom's favorite flower, especially when she was going out to a party or some social event. Just finding the flower, I can, even now as I tell it to you, I can just see this one flower in the forest just dancing like a hula dancer, moving back and forth, still on the stalk, and just waiting for someone to stop by and say, "You're mine," pluck it, and make a lei from it. So when I got home, I just kept thinking about the movement, you know, of the stalk and the wind, and it was kind of a misty rain that was falling on us. And this is on the island of Oahu. And the tune started coming along. Da 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 da. So okay, good, now you got the music. Now what about the words? I don't know. I rushed upstairs and I'm not a piano player, but I just started plucking out the notes. Got my guitar, sat at the piano, punched out the notes and the keys and plucked out my guitar again. Just started to write some stuff, and this is what I came up with. Lovely yellow ginger blossoms, gentle flower rare, strung into a lei of love, no other to compare. O ku'upua avapuhi mele mele nanino, your fragrance of beauty, my love I behold. O kapua mili mili, dancing to and fro in the gentle breeze and misty rain. Hey, heva, heva, oh, ena'u. O ku'upua avapuhi, mele mele nanino. My darling, so tender, oh, how I love you so. Kui ia ile, ie ke aloha mai ole. Pilipa'i ka pūvai forevermore. O ku'upua avapuhi, mele mele nanino. Heavenly one, so divine, I'll wear your love and always be true to you. Kupua avapuhi, mele mele nanino. Kupua avapuhi, mele mele nanino. My darling, so tender, oh how I love you so. Kui ia ile ie ke aloha mai ole, pilipa'a I ka pu'uvei forevermore. O ku'upua avapuhi, mele mele nanino. Heavenly one, so divine, I'll wear your love and always be true to you. O ku'upua avapuhi, mele mele nani no. Song for the lovely yellow ginger blossom. So that was my first hand at writing something hapa haole. You know, I still kind of feel a little hila hila, that's a Hawaiian word for shy, about that song, only because being somebody that kind of everybody looks or thinks that, you know, my image is something of the Hawaiian language, I thought, oh, maybe I should stay away from the English. But, you know, it's just the idea, and I think the idea was just very Hawaiian.
I know there's a lot of work that goes into an album. I'd like you to describe for me what that's like going into a studio and recording.
I think all different recording artists have their own way of doing what they need to do. You know, I have a general idea of what I'd like to do. Of course, I ask friends and family, what do they think? You know, I get some feedback that way. But walking into a studio, I know the list of songs. Other than that, how I'm going to put the songs together, I have no clue. There's no sense of me rehearsing it outside because when I'm in the studio, it's something else. So what I do is, it's just the preparation of what the overall theme of the album will be. This very last one that I did was geared for the hula dancer and it was remakes of some old songs. You know, as far as piecing the songs together, I have a general idea in my head. So actually, for me, I just walk in the studio and, you know, I'll sing it out. And then after that, just kind of build on it. And as the song unfolds, I think of the people who I think would best fit some of those songs, the musicians and their musicianship and their talents. And then I bring them in. And I never give them something to, I hardly ever give them something to rehearse ahead of time because I want the spontaneous feeling that they have. And it's just by feel. I always save the voice for last. And I do that because I want to feel everything that comes through. It's not work. I think the hardest part is actually to get the Hawaiian lyrics near perfect, making sure that in the pronunciation of the words, in the singing part is a must. And I usually take some of the rough drafts of that to an expert in the Hawaiian language and let them kind of critique that before I actually say, okay, this is a final. I think that's the hardest. Otherwise, it's great. It's fun. I love recording.
How do you feel about the way things are in the radio industry as it stands right now? Do you find it supportive?
Public radio is very supportive. But on the commercial side, I don't think we have the support that we need. You know, the station I grew up listening to, All Hawaiian, I have to call to request my own songs. And that's the only way I'd get rotation. And of 12 songs I record on this new album, lucky if I have one, you know, they put one song on rotation for me. And unless I call or my friends call up, I don't have that chance to have it on heavy rotation. I don't know what's the difference, heavy or what is that? One every, you know, song every 5 minutes or song every 5 hours. I don't know what they consider heavy rotation. But, you know, we really got to scratch and pinch and pull hair just to get our songs played, especially things that are in the traditional vein.
I know you love performing for kupuna or older folks as well as visitors, but do you have something for the children?
Yeah, I got something. You know, I forget how many years ago, it must be about over 10 years ago, I took a Hawaiian composition class. Never thought they taught anything like that. And at the time I did this, I met a little girl who was so shy and she was doing so poorly in school. You know, she'd have some real issues. She wouldn't let go of her grandma's skirt. Literally, she'd come to work like that with the grandma. After a while, you know, as she got used to all the other adults that were there, she became a friend to me. I think with that little bit of confidence, she began to bloom a little bit more each day or each week that I'd see her. And finally, when school went back into session, she did so well in her studies, and I felt so great for her. I was quite proud of her, and she's now a beautiful young lady. She's gone on to participate in many school competitions, whether it be academic or just a leisure program. I decided to write a song for her for this class that I did, because that was our assignment to write a song. And her name is Anuenue, and Anuenue means rainbow. Actually, this is my second attempt at a Hawaiian language composition. And it says that the sun shines, the rain falls, and the rainbow arches over a place on the island of Oahu known as Nanakuli.
kala ua ka ua pi o ke anu e nue I nana kuli pakala ua ka ua pi o ke anu e nue I nana kuli.
Goes on to say that you are a beautiful child, a loving child, you are a child of this native land.
Hekeiki ui, hekeiki aloha, o o hekeiki o kaina o iwi, hekeiki ui. Keiki aloha, o oi keiki, o kaina o iwi.
Just a message to not only the children, but to the people of Hawaii: be humble and be proud, and continue to move forward in all that you do.
E ha a he o, e no ke no, a holo mua. E ha a ha a, e ha a he o, e no ke no.
The sun shines, the rain falls. The rainbow arches over Nanakuli. Song for the rainbow. I think we do have some young children starting to believe in themselves through Hawaiian music, especially with the Hawaiian language schools, the immersion schools. I see sort of an imbalance there, because we have so many children learning the Hawaiian language now, but the music out there is not really Hawaiian. So I can't see a balance really with that. So I think maybe through the language schools, we can input a lot more of Hawaiian music, and hopefully if we can bring the balance back up so that we'd have, you know, because I don't see the immersion schools closing. You know, I see that flourishing. I think with that in mind, maybe not this next generation, maybe two generations from now, I think we'd have a real good balance with Hawaiian music being back into the circle of our Hawaii.
Do you find more support in the hotels and restaurants? What's it like performing in Waikiki?
I'm very fortunate to be with a general manager who really cares. He's committed to Hawaiian culture, Hawaiian heritage. So not only the music, the whole ambiance of the hotel, its employees learning about Hawaiian history, or having specific Hawaiian displays available throughout the week. Our general manager, who is also now become the general manager for two hotels, which is at the Sheraton Waikiki and the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. And I'm really excited about that, because the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, it is a National Historic Site. That hotel has, along with the Moana Hotel, has been the queen of hotels of Hawaii, also known as Pink Palace. You know, it has housed some of the world's greatest dignitaries. The performers that were there were some of Yer Hawaii's top entertainers who not only performed here, but were known around the world during maybe the 30s and the 40s and 50s. And of course, you know, that great Hawaiian program, the old Hawaii calls. I mean, it all started back there down at the Moana Hotel. But hopefully now with a general manager like that, we can get more Hawaiian things, more traditional Hawaiian programs in our hotels. And maybe he'll be the forerunner to be the example for all the other hotels, the big name flagship hotels in Waikiki.
Speaking of those old entertainers, who are some of your favorites? Any mentors?
Yeah. Let's see. As a kid, I used to listen to Marlene Tsai. Love her. Loved her voice dearly. And in fact, she's become a good buddy of mine. Haunani Kahalevai, who was a contralto singer for many years, performed over at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. And I don't think there's ever been another contralto singer out of Hawaii since then. And Alfred Opaka, of course. And these are all untrained voices. So it tells you a little bit, you know, about where they come from, what influence they had with their families, or the years they've been singing just by themselves. And their voices are extraordinary. You know, I love voices. And let's see. I think those are my top three. And ensemble, Auntie Genoa Kiawe, can't forget her. Yeah, with her soprano voice. And group singers, the old Hale Kulani used to have a trio of ladies there, known as the Hale Kulani girls. And you talk about the style of guitar playing, the singing, just the combination of music. Can't beat it. And I just regret that I never was able to meet those ladies. But the music still lives on. Oh, and another group is the Kahawanu Lake Trio. The blend of harmony and the style of ukulele playing. Again, it just makes you want to hula. And, and Hawaiian music and hula go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. They go hand in hand. Obviously, because in the old days, you know, chant, of course, you could have a chanter just to do recitation work, but when there was a chanter, there was a dancer. You know, there were songs to be danced and songs not to be danced, and that's okay because those chanters were versed in those particular styles of chanting and mannerisms. But hula and chants are not separate. You know, they go together. So I don't know when we got separated. You know, so as far as the hula is concerned, I think the hula will turn around also from being so commercial, so highly political, and all the competitions that go on. It'll come back into the full circle of, you know, what is truly Hawaiian, and that we can all stay connected with the music.
What legacy would you like to leave for the future generations when they think back on the career and the music of Kuʻipuku Mukahi? Any advice for new young artists?
And your next question? I think I'd have to stay in the same manao, same thought, same philosophy as I've always said and done, is to keep the dignity, perpetuate the dignity and the respect and the heritage of our Hawaiian music, for not only the compositions, but for those who composed, who made, you know, who... All these songs were not only just compositions, but they actually lived these words. And I think that is quite important for the next generation to always remember. Keep Hawaiian music Hawaiian. That's it. Always and forever. And whatever is recorded is forever. And that's why they have to remember, you know, to always make sure. That they do, as my mother would always say, do the right thing. Aia he ho me maluna,
alohi mauana I ka poa me ke au e na hoa hanau
KCR would like to thank artist Ku'uipo Kumakahi and Ululani Records. Talk Story was produced in the KKCR studios by Mary Cunning and engineered by Dean Rogers. Ku'uipo Kumakahi was interviewed by Sandy Swift. Artist biography was written by Charlene Dyer and narrated by Noelle Brooks. For more information on KKCR, you can log on to kkcr.org. Ahui ho, until we meet again.